I started it because there were survivors who come here, whether they come from Rwanda, from Congo, from Sudan, and I noticed that we don't have services for them. And it's important that we have some kind of advocacy, because the services that they seek after they get here, the professional helpers don't know where they come from. So we felt that we could make some interventions to help them at least get services.
So you're saying that this organization is catering to the needs of people not only from Rwanda, from other countries in Africa who have survived, mm-hmm. is it conflict?
Pretty much once you get here, if you have experienced the conflict, there is something that is different that distinguishes you from someone who voluntarily came here. There is a loss that you carry. There is the traumas that you carry.
Give me a profile of the kind of a person that you help in this organization.
It could be somebody who came here. They may have been able to secure their immigration documents. It's the time now to figure out how do they move forward. Do you go to universities? If you're going to go to universities, what are the requirements for you coming from, let's say, Rwanda to getting into an American institution? There are language requirements. There are requirements on your degree that you need to clarify with the schools so that you can actually be able to go into the program that you want to go in based on whatever prerequisite. But there are also the ideas, how do you find the scholarship?
And I see also in your mission statement here that you also deal with the survivors of the 1994 genocide in Rwanda. Tell me briefly about that.
The genocide survivors from Rwanda who live here, we haven't really started working with survivors in Rwanda,
okay.
because we kind of see that in Rwanda, at least, there are many organizations that are trying to help over there. And the needs here are kind of different, because these are people just disconnected. Pretty much there's isolation. There is lack of knowledge in terms of culture, so they need adjustment. There's language. There's life here in the U.S. that is really, really tough.
Aren't the survivors of the 1994 Rwandan genocide who moved, who are now in the United States?
There are. And that is a group that many organizations that are working in Rwanda have not actually thought about helping, even though the needs, whether their psychological needs, are the same as people who are in Rwanda. That is exactly why we started this organization, because that group exists. And as the history tells, we have been talking to Holocaust survivors, for example, to see what are the long-term impact of going through the kind of experiences they went through. And we're learning a lot. One of the questions, for example, is how do you tell your kids what happened to you without giving them your traumas?
Right.
How do you raise a child when you are very wounded deep inside?
Did the 1994 genocide in Rwanda affect you personally?
Yes, it did. I lost my father. I lost my husband. I was 8 months pregnant. I gave birth during the genocide. I lost many friends. I lost my sister. I lost all my uncles and my aunts. It's very personal.
Mm. Did your child survive?
Yes, she did. She's 17 years old now.
It's 1994, it's 2012. Yeah, you must have gone through a traumatic experience yourself. When I look at you, I don't see that.
That's the beauty of life sometimes. Part of it is that I was able to get the help.
Mm.
And I can sit in my comfortable seat and be able to see other people's needs, because some of mine have been met. Not all of them, but some have been met. When I first came here, I was fortunate to have a community that supported me. I was able to go to get my education. I studied social work, and that gave me a whole different experience and knowledge about what people's needs are. And just thinking about someone who might have come here without that kind of help, I don't think I would have made it. And I'm just trying to almost give back, because I was so fortunate to have that kind of help.